Let us turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The previous time that I did devotion, we looked at verses 10, 11 and 12. And this morning our focus in our passage is going to be on verses 13 to 15 of the same passage that we read the previous time together. Just for the sake of the context, we read from verse 10, 2 Timothy 3. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In the previous devotion on this passage, we looked especially at the statement of verse 12, that everyone that desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This is a given and a fact. This is not a mere possibility. And this was seen in Paul's own ministry. Paul mentions in this passage Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. But he could add to that Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and Athens and. Paul was very well acquainted with persecutions. And so he warns Timothy and he says, you can expect something similar in your own ministry. Yes, at this time, Timothy was a minister in the city of Ephesus. And yet it is in this city where there was also a riot because people came to faith and some businessmen, Demetrius and the guilds of the silversmiths, sold their assets and their incomes dwindled because people didn't buy the statues they made of the goddess of Ephesus anymore. And so Paul encourages Timothy, his child in the faith, to endure the hardship for the sake of Christ and his gospel. And yet in this, he is also very clear what to expect. He says, verse 13, things will go from bad to worse. Who of you have ever heard a sermon where a young pastor is ordained in a new congregation and the message for that pastor is, good luck, things are going to go from bad to worse. This is basically what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't expect things to become better. As time goes by, and as the return of Christ draws nearer and nearer, we can expect that things will go from bad to worse. And so Paul is basically saying, Timothy, you are sailing into a severe storm. This is not just a storm with 1 or 2 meter high waves. You are sailing into a hurricane type of storm. 10 meter, 30 meter gulfs. But keep to the trustworthy compass, which is Scripture. For it will lead you into the safety of the heavenly harbor, which is the salvation in Christ. Doesn't matter how severe the storm is, keep your heading fixed on Christ. And so it says, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here on earth we are on a journey. This journey is not easy, on the contrary, it is very, very dangerous. And all the reason for this danger is because of deceivers that we meet along the way. In the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Christian is often tempted by deceivers, flatterers, those who are imposters, to try to be taken away out of the narrow way to very dangerous and life-threatening places. And so these deceivers infiltrate the church and the fellowship of the believers by putting on a disguise of religion. Well, they can pray very, very good. They can be very eloquent in preaching. They can be very dynamic personalities. And yet, under the robes of religion, they are deceivers. And so Paul warns against these people on a number of occasions and in a number of places. For instance, in Acts 20, verse 29, when he talked to the elders of Ephesus on his way back to Jerusalem after the third missionary journey, he makes the statement and he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. He compares these deceivers with savage wolves. And just think for a moment of a savage wolf. This is not your pet dog that you have at home. This is the type of animal that will go for the jugular and kill within an instant. This is to which he compares deceivers. They are out for blood. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, he calls them false apostles, deceitful workers, who disguises themselves as apostles of Christ, following in the footsteps of their master, that's the devil, who disguises himself as an angel of the light. Similar, Peter talks about these half feasts. What is a reef? It's that place underwater where you do not see the rocks. So if you go over a reef, you do not notice the depth, you are going to be shipwrecked. These come under the surface. They are clouds with wild water, carried along by the winds, earthen trees without fruit, doubly dead and uprooted. This is the description of Scripture of the imposters and deceivers. And yet, these men would not only be a problem for Timothy, nor only to the church in Ephesus, nor only to the first century church. These deceivers and imposters, these savage wolves and clouds without water, still plagues the churches today. And Paul warns, this is going to go from bad to worse. For those who are defiled will be more defiled, he writes to Titus. Christ warns in the prophetic sermon in Matthew 24, and he makes the statement, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith upon the earth? Now, if that is not a bad situation, I don't know what is. Paul warns, it will go from bad to worse. Then how are we to navigate this storm of deceit in a time in which we live? Are we to seek the advice from Mr. Worldly Wise Man and the world? Are we to feel our way in the darkness by way of our feelings and our emotions and our own understanding? Or are we to test the waters with the thermometer of society? Paul says no. He states in verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Continue in these things. What are the things of which Timothy were taught? Well, if you look just at the next verse, verse 15, it says that the things in which he had been taught is Scripture, is the sacred writings. And see, there is the trustworthy compass. Scripture, and Scripture alone. Therefore, one of the early church fathers, Gregory of Nyssa, once said, just as at sea those who are carried away from the direction of the harbor bring themselves back on course by a clear sign, or seeing a tall beacon light, or some mountain peaks coming into view, so Scripture may guide those adrift on the sea of the life back into the harbor of God's divine will. Scripture is our compass. Scripture is our beacon. And so we are to study this word, this Scripture, this compass that God has given us. We are to fix our eyes on the beacon of light, and we are to accurately navigate according to the charts of Scripture. For it's only Scripture that can navigate our way of life. Therefore, let us not be deceived by those who says, sure, the Bible is a good book, but it's an outdated book. Oh yes, sure, the Bible is a good book, but there are equally other books that are equally good. If I were to set two compasses before you, One, perfectly calibrated to point to true north. And the other one, out with but 1 degree. Which of the two will you choose to reach your destination? Of course you're going to take the perfectly calibrated one. Because if you take the one with the 1 degree that is out, you might aim for one place and end up in another. In that sense, if you aim for heaven and yet take a uncalibrated compass of human reason or understanding or feelings or emotions or the views of society and this world, you might very well end up in hell. Therefore, let us heed the warning and the command of Paul when he tells Timothy, continue in these things that you have been taught. Continue in the way of Scripture. Follow its coordinates and walk in its light. Why? Well, verse 15 goes on and says that these sacred writings are the writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Which leads to salvation. It is only by way of Scripture that we can reach the heavenly harbor of salvation in Christ alone. God has decided, by way of His omniscience, as well as His sovereign will, that He would bring people into His kingdom and faith in Christ by the proclamation of His word. Not by feeling your way into heaven, or by a other route, but by the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ alone, through faith in Him alone, by the grace of God alone. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. For it is in Scripture that we are shown our pitiful state and lostness, and therefore our dire need of salvation. You will find in no psychological manual anywhere a place where people are called to recognize that they are sinners, that they are totally depraved, that they are in and of themselves worthless outside of Christ. You will find that in no manual of psychology. What you will find in psychological manuals is, you are such a great person. You are worth so much. But before we understand just how pitiful we are, and how deep we are in our lost state and spiritual deadness, we will see no need for a Savior. And that is only found in Scripture. It is in Scripture that we are shown the picture of the cross of Christ and salvation in Him alone. It is in Scripture that we are brought before the Savior to throw ourselves completely on to Him for our salvation by way of His mercy and grace. As we sung in one of our previous devotions, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds are sinking sand. And Scripture points us to the rock that cannot be moved, cannot be shaken. And so by Scripture alone, we are brought into the harbor of salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone, and by grace alone. No other book, and no other compass, can bring us into this destination. As Paul states, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1 verse 16. Therefore, do not listen to the sirens that call us off course by their melodies of your best life now, or by way of your works and your merit type of symptoms. No, stay true to the course set by the compass of Scripture. Fix your eyes solidly upon Christ, who is the light and beacon in the storm. In this world, we as believers face a numerous variety of rocks of persecution and of deceit. These things threaten to destroy us. Yet, by the grace of God, we are not left to our own devices to navigate through these troubled waters. God has set in our hands a compass. He has set us on our course in Christ towards the harbor of eternal salvation. And He has appointed a trustworthy commander and chief and captain, namely the Holy Spirit, who will guide us also safely into this harbor. And therefore, as Paul says, follow in these things. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look around us, we realize that we live in confusing times. The world is full of deceivers seeking to bring your children astray, seeking to lead them out of the narrow way, seeking to bring them upon the rocks so that they may be shipwrecked in faith. And so we realize the dangers. We realize the troubled waters that we are facing. And so we call unto You, confessing not by our strength, Lord, but only by Yours. That You may guide us through this troubled land, so that we may one day enter into heaven, singing Your praises for Your goodness and for Your love and mercy and grace and guidance in this life. Give us discernment. Give us obedience. Give us faith. So we may trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit through your word and to the glory of your name. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.